Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pete Futek.
He's great, with a capital G, the highest level of grade.
Publisher of College Football News.
What is it that makes our military superior? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world.
He hates your favorite team.
Rankings don't matter at the end because they're just going to put Alabama in the college football playoff anyway.
Pete Futek with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Well, I guess we've got to start with the news because we've got some major stories in college football. Maybe the best college football player is now not eligible to play because of, once again, something really stupid. Pete Futek is joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Pete is on Twitter at Pete Futek. He of College Football News. He does the College Football News podcast with Nick Shepkowski. And all of a sudden, we get the great pass rusher we've been watching all year, and now because he got a loan from a family friend, one that he repaid entirely, he can't play against Maryland?
Yeah, kind of silly, but it's actually a good thing. I mean, the quick hot take on this is that, what does it all mean? Well, it means that the line just plummeted from -43.5 versus Maryland to -43.5. You know, it's big deal. I mean, nothing it's actually a positive. He doesn't have to play against Maryland. And you know what? Sit out against Rutgers, too, next week and just unleash the fury when they have to play Penn State in a couple weeks. It's obviously ridiculous, but it's a different sort of situation here than, for example, Nick Bosa from last year who got hurt and was like, you know what, I got generational wealth coming, I'm out of here. Chase Young's one of those kind of guys who it really, really, really likes the whole college thing, and it's going to just fire him up even more. And take a look at where we're at with this, with what the NCAA has done. Remember where we were just over a year ago with the Urban Meyer situation, the whole ugly scandal, and everything that went on. Now Ohio State's a sympathetic figure.
Amazing.
With 99% of the public pretty much saying, what the hell? I mean, Chase Young's fine. You know, this is stupid. And so it's just crazy how this whole thing has kind of worked.
You put me in the 1%. I love Chase Young. He's an amazing player. I still don't care for Ohio State. Never really will. I just find it weird that, you know, the NCAA is out here, even if it is just word lip service and words about letting players get paid for their likeness and whatnot, they're still out here hunting down the, what, couple hundred bucks that you got from a person that you've known your entire life. Some craven rules guru is chasing this down, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Here's the thing that no one likes to talk about when it comes to the NCAA and this whole, like, oh, the players are going to get, we're going to give them, you know, let the fools have their tartar sauce. You know, and everything that they're talking about, the players don't matter. You know, it's just part of a commodity to them that just, it makes no difference. And if you're the NCAA, you don't care. Everyone's going to watch Ohio State maybe anyway. Everyone's going to watch Alabama, LSU. You know, it's the actual individual players make absolutely no difference. Exhibit A being the NCAA tournament where this country shuts down for 2 days in mid-March. So a bunch of people watch a bunch of teams that they've never seen and watch a bunch of players they've never heard of. And they're going to watch no matter what. And that's all that really matters. The individuals are going to come and go, and the college game just kind of keeps on rolling. So if you're the NCAA, it just doesn't matter. So this is just their little way of kind of saying, yeah, you know, we're going to give you guys, you know, your stuff later, but we're just going to kind of, you know, just do a little dig here a little bit.
Is Deion Sanders actually a candidate for the FSU job?
I hope so. Who doesn't want this? I mean, it would be a blast. He'd probably be a complete disaster as a head coach, but he's my favorite college football player of all time. Wow. So I want him to be there. I think the world needs this. I'm all for it. What do you want, Mark Stoops? You know, No, we want Deion in this thing. Of course we want him to be. I doubt it. I can't believe that he would actually be a head coach at a national championship caliber program for his first time out as a coaching gig. gig. But you know what? If you get the right assistants, if you get the right guys, we've seen it. We've seen figurehead head coaches who kind of know their stuff just enough. I highly doubt, though, that he's going to be that guy that's going to sit in a room, you know, sit in the office 29 hours a day and do all the things that crazy college football coaches have to do. But as for, in terms of recruiting, in terms of just being the personality for the program, yeah, I want it. I don't care if it works or not. I want to see it.
Obviously, the big one is LSU and Alabama. I am thrilled to sit down and watch this game Saturday afternoon. But I saw this pop up on my Twitter feed. I wonder if you've seen the same thing. Gary Danielson, who's calling the game, was apparently at practice. And on the SEC XM show, said out loud in front of God and everyone else that Tua Tagovailoa isn't 100% healthy, that he would still play him if it were him, but he's absolutely compromised. So I ask you, is that the last time Gary Danielson ever gets to go to an Alabama practice?
Yeah, exactly. At least he didn't say he's seeing ghosts or something like that. You can't say stuff like that at Alabama practice. I remember being in the national championship practice a couple of years ago and seeing them practice all these, you know, deep passes and certain things and getting kind of a nudge being like, yeah, don't tweet that. I'm like, okay, I guess I won't.
Thanks for telling me, right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, absolutely. But he's not 100%. I mean, think of the SEC championship game last year. And overall, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this narrative works. Because if somehow LSU wins close and Tua's not quite 100%, there's your out. You know, if you're the College Football Playoff Committee and you kind of want Alabama in this, and assuming it's not a total wipeout, let's say it's like 26-23, but, you know, Tua is obviously hobbling. He's not the right. The committee can kind of adjust that when it comes to the final rankings and be and just say, yeah, they lost to the number one team in the country and Tua wasn't 100%. Now he is 100% and they just beat Auburn. So, okay, we're going to put them in anyway.
So let's look at the game. Let's look at Alabama and LSU. Let's look at a game that's going to go a long way to deciding some Heisman minds right here. How do you break it down?
Very simply, whose NFL caliber secondary is going to come up bigger? And this Alabama defense is not the Alabama defense in the past few years. I mean, by any reasonable or normal standards, it's amazing. It's not a rock against the run, but I don't think LSU is going to be able to run it very well. And Joe Burrow's already kind of done it. I mean, he's already gone against the Florida NFL secondary. He's already gone against the Auburn defense full of NFL caliber players. This Alabama secondary has not been tested all that much so far. That's going to be the key. Can Joe Burrow get enough time to be able to bomb away against this group? And I was on a couple of Alabama shows earlier, and we kind of talked about what happens if you have a Santa Clara thing again. You want to talk about total program meltdown? The last time we saw Alabama play a real team with a whole lot of NFL offensive talent, it got its doors blown off. And this defense is not as good as the one that was in the national championship game last year. I still think Alabama pulls this off. I think that this running game is just going to take over early on. This might be Nick Saban's best offensive line. Tua's, even if he's not 100%, Mac Jones is fine if he steps in. That receiving core that they have is just ridiculous, full of talent. And at the end of the day, it's just part of my ingrained DNA at this point that big game, pick Alabama.
Were you surprised Penn State got the nod? And how do they feature against the also unbeaten Minnesota?
You're not at number four, you mean?
Yeah, rankings.
No, because that's kind of one of the things they did get kind of right in this whole thing. It's the playoff committee really sort of screwed it up in a lot of ways. But all right, they've actually beat some real teams. So, yeah, they should be ahead of Clemson, who's beaten absolutely nobody. Penn State Minnesota is going to be low scoring. Penn State just doesn't score. It's not one of those teams that comes out and hangs 55 on the board. They can dominate and win 24-10. And that's kind of going to have to be what happens here. Their run defense is amazing. I don't see that the Gophers are going to be able to pound the ball for 300 yards like they've been able to do just about every week over the last month. I would, as a Minnesota native, I would love to see this happen. I would love to see the Gophers pull this off and be relevant. But I just kind of think Penn State just kind of methodically goes out there, wins, like I said, like low scoring, 24-13-ish, and we move on. And as much as we're talking about Alabama LSU right now, there's a really solid chance that Penn State Ohio State's bigger, because if Alabama loses this week, it might be out of the college football playoff altogether. Wow. If Alabama wins close, then both those teams are probably in, and then Penn State Ohio State, if the loser of that goes 11-1, you might have, and you're not going to have Clemson get knocked out, but let's say Clemson kind of stumbles. You might have two Big Ten, two SEC teams in your college football playoff, but only if Clemson stumbles along the way.
What's at stake between what appears to be a very even matchup between 18th-ranked Iowa and 13th-ranked Wisconsin, identical records in conference and out of conference?
I will be stunned if Wisconsin doesn't go back to being the September Wisconsin. It's at home. It's had 2 weeks off. Iowa has no offense. They have no running game whatsoever. Nate Stanley's a very good NFL backup caliber quarterback who's not going to make a whole lot of mistakes. But I will be shocked if this is not a different Wisconsin team than the one over the last, 63 minutes of college football that we've seen them play. I don't think they're going to come out and be able to blast away on Iowa like they did against Michigan and Michigan State. But Iowa doesn't generate any semblance of a pass rush. So at the very least, Jack Cohn's going to get time to work. I think Wisconsin wins this relatively easily.
Oklahoma, okay, they bounce back?
No. They do bounce back, but they're going to be a fight. But they haven't beaten anybody either. I mean, they beat Texas, and that's the one game they've played that they've beaten against a team that's going to go bowling. And now they're kind of hosed. I mean, they're at 12-1. Oklahoma is not going to have the killer resume. And I know it doesn't work like this. It doesn't, where you ever get ranked early, it's not like, okay, you just automatically move up like you do in the other polls. But being at number 9 kind of shows you what the committee thinks of this Oklahoma team. They actually caught a massive break. Somehow they're number 9. They lost to Kansas State. Baylor is undefeated, beat Kansas State, and Baylor's ranked behind Oklahoma, one of the massive screw-ups of this last poll. But going forward, they do get to play an unbeaten Baylor. They do get to go to Oklahoma State, and they get one more game. But there's no real big giant win on the schedule. And so they're just going to have to keep rolling. They're going to have to just dominate and annihilate everyone. I still think at the end of the rainbow here, go 12-1, win your Power 5 conference, and you're probably going to be in this. But again, if you're, say, Penn State, if you're Oklahoma, if you're Oregon, if you're Utah, you are rooting hard for LSU to win relatively easily because, again, if you look at Alabama's schedule, they haven't played anybody. So there's got to be anything there to argue that Alabama should be in this thing. If they go 11-1, don't even win their division, and then you have a bunch of other teams that are options this year to get in the college football playoff.
I want to turn us back around to the Florida State job because it matters. I mean, that is a prestige job in college football.
It matters for PJ Fleck this week.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's got leverage. He's got a contract offer. He's got the whole thing. Would they go? Who are your candidates? Who would you take a look at if you were anointed AD at Florida State? Because I think that's how they do it. They actually anoint the athletic director there.
Exactly. The puff of smoke comes out.
Mike Leach. Like, why won't he get your national your title seeking job?
You're like his agent.
I'm just saying. Like the guy, he's a crazy pants person, but a damn good college football coach.
He is. He's a little more.
He's fun. I think, he's a damn fun college football.
He's a not. He's fake fun. I mean,
product on the field. No. I mean, like take his press conferences aside and put it one way or the other. That offense has the potential to be fun every single week.
I do want to your point. I thought the Tennessee job would have been good for him because you've never seen him with a chance at a no offense to Texas Tech and Washington State, but some. Coached a real big-time program. You've never seen him when he's got the talent, but you saw him. He was the coordinator at Oklahoma, so you saw that the offense worked. I don't know if it's kind of one of his DNA things to be able to go out and recruit the five-star guys. He's just made his life off of saying, I got to take my guy who fits my system, and that doesn't really fly at a Florida State. You want the guy who can go out there and just crank out the five-star talent. And I don't know if that's necessarily Mike Leach. To me, I'm not joking here. I still think if you can get past it, Lane Kiffin's a really, really good coach. Oof. He has got he's a pain in the butt, but he got Tennessee to a winning record in 1 year, kind of an oasis for that program. He actually was really good at USC in the time when the Reggie Bush sanctions dropped like a hammer and he couldn't recruit. But if you can get past all the Lane Kiffin-ness, I still think he could take a program to a whole other level, especially when it comes to recruiting. And now you got to kind of go against that Clemson animal, and you're going to have to find someone who can get talent, who can match up with that, because now Florida State's taking a big step back because Clemson's not going anywhere for a while.
Real quick, USC hired Mike Bone, as no offense, as its new athletic director. And there was a story that said he was getting cold feet about taking the job because he was taking it with the full intent and precondition of hiring Urban Meyer or going guns blazing after Urban Meyer. And the story came out that the university did not want him to hire Urban Meyer. They've had enough mishigas going on at USC. The last thing they needed was the controversy over his handling of Zach Smith and everything that went down there. And now it appears he's taking the job, and we're thinking, does that mean it's a go for him to go after Meyer?
Yeah, a whole bunch of very, very rich alumni are going to have their say in this thing as well. I still think that Urban Meyer is going to take the Cleveland Browns job. I think he's just set for something a little bit bigger than just this. Cleveland just kind of fits his role. But my problem with the USC job is, well, one, they can get pretty much anyone they want. That's the A-list of A-list job that's going to be opened. And two, I don't have another name. Like, come up if you're setting your sights at Urban Meyer, where's your plan B? Like, give me. I don't have a plan B name that's big enough to take a guy who's an instant national. You get Urban Meyer, that is a national championship program now because they get a ton of talent back. It's something crazy. Like 12 of their top 13 tacklers are underclassmen. All their wide receivers are coming back. I mean, this is a loaded team full of very young, very good guys. And then add Urban Meyer and his recruiting ability to the mix. I don't have a plan B. If you don't have Urban Meyer, then you've got to find someone. I mean, David Shaw, okay, fine. You know, there's guys out there who are going to be looked at, but you got to get an A-list of A-list guy for that job.
Pete, appreciate you.
Later, guys.
There goes Pete Futek. This segment brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever, so use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 70 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner.
As soon as Pete asked it, I started thinking, I don't know who that guy is. You know, that guy after, he makes a great point. If that is the end-all, be-all, and I mean, in terms of college football coaches, say what you will, and you can't say many things about Urban Meyer as a human being, there isn't a next. That program is just where it's going to be the entire rest of the way. There isn't really a next. That's a tough place to be.
Urban Meyer, Cleveland Browns.
That's a Hard Knocks I'd watch. I know he couldn't do it in his first year because rookie coaches are exempted from that, but I would watch the hell out of Urban Meyer and Baker Mayfield try and come to terms.
Wow. Yeah, Baker's having a rough time of late, isn't he?
He shaved the handlebars off of his mustache.
You say he didn't deserve it?
That's right. That's what he said.
He wasn't, because he's not good enough to have a certain. I didn't know you had to merit a certain kind of mustache.
I can't grow the handlebars anyway. The mustache just stops in that one. I have the space. It's never going to connect. I don't have that option. I will never deserve it because I can't.
Well,
do it
handlebar isn't the same as a Fu Manchu. You could grow a handlebar because that's just the actual length of it, and then you twist it.
I don't think I could do that either. I don't think I have
with actual mustache wax?
I don't think I have the ability.
No,
I think my facial hair is spotty and splotchy at best. It's like a Brillo pad that's been burned with acid. It just doesn't. It's bad.
Yeah, you should give it a try. I think
give it a run.
You should have a
we are in November. We start doing that. That's when people do these things.
After you knock down the pizzas, we could have a. I guess I'm not doing it, but you and the.
Have you ever had a mustache?
Well,
did you ever do
during finals?
It was at college in the 80s. Weren't you supposed to? Weren't you issued one when you?
No, during finals, we used to just sort of do. It was just kind of a thing. It was like a playoff beard or whatever.
Yeah,
during
final
exams at college, I would start out with like the full kind of goatee thing, and then I would pare it down. But I never had the guy. You know, I'd walk around for a little while with it. I end up a little like a soul patch thing. It never looked like. And my parents hated it. Like even the moment, like if I didn't shave for a couple of days, yeah, you look like a damn terrorist. You know, like what,
Dad?
Come on, shave that. What are you doing? You know? Sorry, jeez.
I get the same for my grandma. You got to stand a little bit close to the razor. That's what another, I get from my grandfather.
What was the other one?
All right.
There was something that was also kind of a profane in a way I probably can't repeat.
Yeah, probably hold on to that. This was Parkins versus McKnight beard off. It wouldn't be. I'm as bad as mine is, it's so much better than Danny's neck beard thing.
McKnight beard off. Sounds like a Russian supervillain.
I've got
Parkins
him on that.
Parkins almost looked like he took roadkill and put it on his neck.
Yeah.
He took the leave-ins from the Manscaped thing and just pasted them to his
no,
face.
No, do you know what? When Parkins does it, you know who he kind of looks like?
Whom?
Dave Grohl.
What? Really?
Yes.
It's like that kind of segmented
thing? But just the whole, like, the shape of the face kind of thing. He's got a bit of a Dave Grohl vibe going on. Oh, and okay. By the way, we're burying the lead.
What?
Somewhere Dave Grohl just drank bleach.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, that's it for human existence. Did you hear the 5 o'clock hour of the McNeil and Parkin show yesterday?
I was unable to listen to the 5 o'clock hour of the McNeil and Parkin show yesterday.
He has a child on the way.
Woof. Good for him. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That is awesome.
To Danny and Scott.
That is awesome.
It was just hilarious what he was talking about, how everybody in his family thinks he's so incredibly unready for this that out of love, they've been sending him books and like owner's manuals and how-tos and paint by numbers. So you've decided to have a child. And he just said, like, the entire tenor of the response has been like, well,
one of the
really?
Books is, we're not on board with this, but here's how you can change
Baby's
that.
Baby's on board. We're not.
Right? So, best of luck to him. All I did was
he's
give
gonna be fine.
The first and best piece of advice I got is called a 529.
What is that?
That's your tax exempt college savings plan. The moment your child has a social security number, the instant that social security card arrives.
When do you get that? A couple weeks after?
Yeah. Okay. Open that account.
That's almost as good as my number that I threw at him. MD 4040. Just
I don't know what that is.
Oh, right. Yeah, all right. That'll work. That'll get it done.
It's booze for poorer people, Dan.
I thought it was MD 2020.
Double it up.
Is it the alcohol?
Double it up.
Did I just Big Cat Williams drink?
I thought it was Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, it's 2020.
That's why I didn't get it.
To get two.
When I have 40-40 hindsight from Big Cat, you know.
I mean, they doubled it up.
Oh, sweet God.
Yeah, I was at a party
at Cornell. Congratulations to the
Parkinses.
Becoming a team of three. That's awesome.
Man, Danny, this is going to be great. Blue Chew working for him, huh?
Yeah.
So right?
Does that mean I'm the only?
Somebody's next.
No, that doesn't mean that. It just means I'm the only holdout.
Somebody just caught the bouquet.
Everything's
yeah, I just
that's not a bouquet.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, you know, you start to get to that. He's younger than you are, isn't he?
Yeah, by like 6 months, something like that. I think it's a year in school and 6 months total.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, stay tuned. I'm sure I'll make that announcement while I have three Jack's pizzas on Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Really growing up over here.
You got one child left in the organization, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Don't what? Put that on me. Don't put that on me.
I love the discomfort. I can't get it.
Love the discomfort.
Just shoot that into my veins.
Send it to break, will you? End my discomfort.
No. We are.
Parkins is going to realize he's going to have to watch shows that aren't on HBO now, right?
No, his kid's going to come up watching The Wire.
Well, no, when it's
moment one.
The kid has to be sentient for it to matter. I mean, you can watch Pulp Fiction next to a baby. It doesn't really matter.
No, they play classical music in front of the womb. Yeah, like, that, it matters.
And yesterday, he's always like, you know, a stroller, it's $1,000. Don't buy the $1,000 stroller. Come on. That's what you learn with the second kid.
You get a shopping cart from the Jewel. You knock the wheel off
Jewel
and then
bag.
Put on your own yeah, wheel right. on it.
That's the one that
locks up. You take that off. Go to the Home Depot. $7. I got your
that's
stroller.
That's the point of the second kid. With the second kid, you realize how much you drastically overspent on the first kid, like a complete idiot.
Well, do you know, has he announced whether he and his future child will share the same bookie? Is that, are they going to do the same guy?
No, we've been doing bets on names. What did you say? It's going to be name him Clem.
No,
it's going to be Clem
but it's short for Clemson over Parkins.
Yes, it's going to be Clem Parkins, but his actual given name is Clemson over.
Which, yeah, he's got to have a poll for like the most Chicago name they could name their kid.
Shepkowski named his daughter Peyton.
Yeah, I like Clemson over. I think that's a pretty good name for a kid.
I thought
could be a guy, could be a girl.
Do we know? I didn't ask. It was the Peyton. Is there a Walter Peyton thing in there at all?
It's P-E-Y, so probably not.
No, but it's.
I mean,
Seth's still
not the best speller in the world, so
he had Mitch fill it out.
There are random capitalizations on the birth certificate.
Peyton, sorry for any typos. Shepkowski
apostrophe.
Y-T-Y. Yeah.
Bernstein and McKnight, I have a Bears. I have a rare thought on the Bears game. I actually
really?
Have a thought. Yeah.
My God.
Yep.
It is week 10.
I am stunned.
I always promise you, if I have a feeling about an outcome of a game, I will offer it. I don't try to do it. It just sort of appears to me like a vision, and the football gods came to me.
I have got to hear this.
And the angel of the football angel spoke to me. It might have been the football angel, or it might have just been all the food I ate yesterday.
Dan's been drinking Windex, and he's got a Bears thought. I'll give it to you next on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Or...
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission? It's a good time to do it. If you do it, you know, during action, that's
they're going
to
stop. That's they discouraged. Don't like that. I've tried.
So
they don't...
that's really, you're probably well advised to do it during intermission of a Wolves game. So sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Ice Box. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. They are winners. They are the Wolves.
It's Bears Friday. It's brought to you by Dunkin'. All our Bears Fridays are brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. You, sir, have had some Dunkin', I think, in order to get yourself to a point in week 10 on the schedule. Bye and everything. Four straight losses in a row, and you have promised that you actually had a feel for this one.
I'm calling dead cat bounce.
No!
For no other reason than that. That even a dead cat, when thrown off a building, is going to bounce. They're not bad enough. I just don't think they're lose five in a row bad
as an entirety. Right?
When I look at the whole thing, I look at the whole gestalt of this Bears. I don't think they are. I don't think they're give up bad. I don't think they're quit on the coach bad. I don't think they're lose five in a row bad. I don't think they are lose to the Lions at this point bad. I don't think they are. I don't think they're good, and I don't really trust them. And I don't think I'd be surprised if this was the quit game, and we all know it, and we all sense it, we all feel it. A lot of stuff is off the table, but. I think this might be the put the floor in. They're not. They can't be this bad game.
I hope you're right. I really do. I picked it for the Lions on the website on 670thescore.com only because I'm worried they lose the Matt Stafford game. When you listed the games they'd lose,
yeah,
the one you didn't mention is the Matt Stafford game. If he goes off, That's what I worry about. I don't think it's likely, but I picked it that way because I don't know. My heart doesn't deserve hope or something like that. And here you are installing it yet again. Transition with Lawrence coming up in just a little bit is a Duncan Bears Friday here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This segment is brought to you by Valparaiso University. The satisfaction that comes with living to your full potential is immeasurable. It's a quality of life that Valparaiso University graduates enjoy every day. At Valpo, your full potential receives their total commitment. Visit valpo.edu to request information, to apply, or to schedule a visit. Thanks to Herman Moore and Hub Arkish and Pete Futek for joining us. We also thank Zawoski Camp and Studs. Monday, it's going to be a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be the usuals. Patrick Manley and Rich Campbell.
And the dead cat that you've watched bounce.
Yes, I'm going to bring in the dead cat, if indeed I'm right, and it bounces. I'm calling bottom.
Transition is next. Lawrence is on the way. It's 670 to score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.